announced I would begin a sermon series, Your Blessed Life Now. We're going to do that. I had every intention of beginning in the Beatitudes, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, you know, blessed, 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 all through there. But instead, I felt compelled to kind of have a prologue. And in the prologue, we're going to turn to Psalms 1. Now, we're going to begin reading with the very word blessed. But let me just say something. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but most of us grew up saying blessed, right? Blessed is the man, or blessed are the poor in spirit. Let me just briefly explain why that is. That's a leftover from the time when our language was very poetic, the Elizabethan period and the Shakespeare English. And that's the way the words were done in poetry, blessed. Now we say blessed. There is another difference. The verb is blessed. God blessed me. The adjective is when you go blessed. But today we normally just say blessed. But we like blessed because it sounds more sacred, blessed. Doesn't it? Blessed. But it's kind of hard to say your blessed life now, so we're going to have the series on your blessed life. You can remain seated, and I ask Brother Mike to get this ready for us. Let's just go ahead and read the whole psalm before we get into it tonight. Could we do that? Everyone, would you read in unison out loud with me tonight? This is great. Let's just read it together. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And it's tremendous, isn't it? So we're going to use this as a prologue for your blessed life now. You know, I just heard it. Did anyone hear that? How many heard someone sneeze? Did you hear that? Think about one of the few times we hear the word. So what is your blessed life now? Is it to develop allergies and go sneezing because you're going to hear it all day long? Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. There's another time. Now, this is more down south than up north. But you know, people get into the conversation and they'll start talking about somebody. You know, how many knows what I'm talking about already? Yeah, well, she couldn't cook if her life depended upon it. You know, this and that. And then they realize they kind of just justify, bless her heart. So maybe it's being talked about that will give you, because everyone's blessing your heart. What is it that leads to a blessed life? So often we see it as an that we feel when something pleasant or beneficial happens. We used to call that a boon or a benefit. Just some blessing, I don't want to use that word, but some pleasant thing happens to you, so you feel blessed. I've seen some Facebook posts, feeling blessed. Usually, why are they feeling blessed? Well, they're grateful for some welcome thing that has happened to them. They attribute it to God. On the job. New kid, new car, new house. I'm feeling blessed. Well, is that the blessed life? Well, yeah, but it's a lot more than that. I've also heard say after church, and I love to hear it, they say, I sure got blessed in church tonight. Or someone else, you sure got blessed in church tonight. In other words, you really felt the press favor and the grace of God. Is that the blessed life? Well, it is certain part of it. What is the blessed life? Well, what does the word blessed mean? This is one of the things it's hard to define, and I'll hear it in just a minute, just leave it there. But when I tell people what it literally is, off track for a moment because we've so ruined our words, but did you know the blessed really means happy? You see what I mean? The world has ruined the word happy. But when you use happy, that makes you think in terms of things of on a just an ordinary life. But the word blessed adds the dimension to it. When you say blessed, it's happy with the God dimension. God has an involvement in your happiness. So is it just the emotion happy to be? Again, it's more than that. It's not happy like the world sees. It's not this surface emotion. It's something far than that. Let me give you some things that it is. It's a deep contentment that comes from the condition of your heart and life being right with God. That's what blessed is. It's a deep contentment because you know your condition, the condition around you, you know your heart is right with God. I'm telling you, you'll never feel more blessed when you understand I'm right with God, therefore my world is going to be right. So let's use this for tonight and we'll move on. To be blessed is being happy because you sense God's approval in your world because you know things are right in your heart. Whatever's happening in the world around you, you say, it around you, it's going to be all right because my heart is all right with God. That's the blessed state. That's a wonderful place to live. A believer is happy whatever the outward condition, because everything is right on the inside. You know, sometimes songs really capture. There's an old song, and all of a sudden came from it today, that really captured what it means to be blessed. I remember the song, I'd Rather Be an Old-Time Christian Than Anything I Know. Sang that in the last 100 years? I'd rather be an old-time Christian. It wasn't the title or the chorus that came to me. It's one phrase of a verse, and it came from the back of my mind today, and I said, that's it. That's what it means. Do you remember this line? All the world is bright since I got right. That's blessed. All the world is bright since I got right. Amen. So to be blessed is a happiness that you know you'll have help from God in your world because you have the favor of God in your heart. And that's blessed. Whatever you're facing, whatever your life is right now, the blessed life is knowing you're going to have God's help in your life because you got God's favor in your heart. Does anyone feel blessed tonight? But we got to get to this thing today. Before we do, did you know most people are living really not blessed lives, they're living miserable lives? How many will agree with me? People are living miserable. Here's the sad thing. It's not just unbelievers that are living miserable lives. If not most, believers are living miserable lives. I want to tell you something. God doesn't want us to live miserable lives. God wants us to live blessed lives. How many believes that? Let me tell you something. I know some of you young people got to leave me, so I'm going to get this across. God's got a plan for every one of us. He wants you to live the blessed life. Satan's got a plan too. You know what his plan is? He wants you to live the messed up life. And it's going to be one or the other. We'll live the blessed life or we'll live the messed up life. How many knows a lot of folks are living the messed up life? I mean, at an early age, I remember preaching as a single evangelist, you can mess up your life in a big hurry. Satan loves that. You can live the messed up life or you can live the blessed life. Now, I got to add one little thing in parenthesis here. Because our God is powerful and gracious, you might have already begun to live the messed up life, but we serve a God that can take the mess and turn it into the blessing. How many knows he can do that? Amen. So, here's the question. What can we do to live the blessed life? What can we do? You know, the problem is that people want to live however they want to live and be blessed. It's not going to happen. There's a way to live the blessed life. Now, if you notice how Psalm 1 began, it did not begin positive. It began negative. It didn't positively tell us what the blessed life was. It told us negatively, blessed is the man that walketh not. You don't do this to be blessed, nor standeth. You don't do that to be blessed, nor sitteth in the seat of the scorner. Don't do that if you want to be blessed. In other words, if you do those things, you won't be blessed. So tonight, I'm just going to briefly deal with this. The blessed life, living the blessed life, is not doing these things. What are they? What are they? Well, first of all, I want you to notice this digression here. Did anyone notice here? Look what it says. Help me out. Blessed is a man that what? Nor. Did you notice the progression? More and more limited, more and more restricted. But there's something else it's saying here, and this is what I want us to get. First of all, you'll never live the blessed life if you hear what the world is saying. You cannot do it. If you hear what the world is saying. Look what it says here. Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, walk, I don't have time to explain tonight, but walk, one of the things it means, it talks about the habit. We walk with God, it's our habit, it's our pattern. So to walk in the counsel, another word for counsel is advice or opinions. To walk in the counsel of the ungodly is to make it a habit to listen to what the ungodly are saying. If you listen to the ungodly, you will never be blessed. If that's where you get your advice, you cannot live the blessed life. And I want to tell us tonight, just to remind you, but it's important whom you get your advice from. It is so important whom you are listening to. You cannot be blessed if you are hearing what the world is saying, if you're listening to the counsel of the ungodly. How remember in the Garden of Eden after Satan had tempted Eve and even Adam had sinned, you know, and then they tried to make themselves clothes and they went to hid. And God came looking for him and said, "Where are you?" And we're over here. He found him hiding. "Why are you hiding?" He said, "Because we knew we were naked." Does anyone remember what God said to them? What did he say? Who told you were naked? You know what God was really saying? Whom have you been listening to that you've got in the mess you're in? If they hadn't been listening to Satan, they would not have been in that mess. And so I think it's a good, if you want to live the blessed life, ask yourself, who am I listening to? Where am I getting my advice? Let me just give you some questions here. God said to Adam and Eve, who have you been listening to that you got in this mess? But I want to ask you, who told you it was okay to watch that? Who told you that? Godly person in the church or a carnal, worldly-minded friend at school? Who told you it was all right? Who told you that that's what it takes for a young lady to look beautiful? Did the Word of God tell you that? Did the sister of God tell you that? Who told you that? Was it someone from Hollywood whose life's already in a mess? Who told you that using curse words is okay in 2015? Where did you hear that? Who told you you don't need to be so fanatical and sold out to God and holy servant? Who told you homosexuality is acceptable? You say, well, I heard someone from the pulpit say it. And I'm not here picking fights, but I want to tell you, just because somebody's in the pulpit doesn't mean they're godly. Just because they have a following doesn't mean they're godly. It's important. Whom do we get our counsel from? Now, it says here, walketh in the counsel of the godly. You know, most people don't go just up to some, pick out the most ungodly person they can find and say, hey, what do you think about this? It's not the way it works. Here's how we hear the counsel of the ungodly. It comes through songs. If you want to know the counsel of the ungodly, the advice of the ungodly, it comes through the songs of this world. It comes through movies. It comes through tweets. It comes through posts. It comes through snapshots. It comes through godless university professors. It comes from liberal talk shows on television. It comes from the cool kids. That's where the counsel of the ungodly comes from. Now I want to ask you, if that's where the counsel of the ungodly come from, where did they get it? Where did they get it? They got it from Satan. They got it from this corrupt world. I'm talking about the blessed life. The blessed life is not listening to the counsel of the ungodly. You know, most of you are adept at this, but whether it's Netflix or Amazon or whatever, if you've watched something or purchased something, it'll pop up and say, "We recommend this for you." I want to tell you, if you happen to be on a movie subscription like Netflix, just because they recommend it doesn't mean you have to watch it. But you need to ask yourself a question. who is recommending this to me? Who is it? It's the counsel of the ungodly. So number one, you'll never be blessed if you listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Number two, you cannot be blessed if you hang out with them. First of all, if you hear them. Secondly, if you hang out. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. See, to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, I know they'll finish this up listening online, so. First of all, you're walking in the counsel of the ungodly, you're just hearing them. But now you're standing in the way of sinners, you're hanging out with them. You say, how do you figure that? Well, what do you think when you see people standing in groups? Go to a mall. If you see a bunch of young people standing in a group, you immediately know they're hanging out together, right? It could be out on the parking lot, a bunch of people in a group, they're hanging together. So first of all, you hear their counsel, and then you begin to hang out with them. You know, sometimes I have a question to folks. If you're on the road to heaven, why are you always found in the group that's headed the other place? Why are you hanging with folks? How many believes you can hang with unspiritual folks and it help your spiritual life? How many have seen one godly young person begin to hang with an ungodly group of teenagers, and pretty soon the whole group of teenagers they were hanging with becomes godly? Have you seen that? What it normally happens. I'm talking about stand the blessed life. You do not stand with the sinners. It's just a given thing. I don't care if you're 5 or 50. There are some people that's not good to hang with. We're Christians. We're always cordial. We should always be friendly. We should always be kind. You know, it's school starting. And, you know, nobody likes to be alone in the cafeteria. I can remember those awkward moments when you go sit down at a table, no one else comes sits with you. Nobody likes to be alone. Everybody likes to be in a group. It's not just school cafeterias. It's workplaces. It's the break room at work. Social media. Everybody likes all those friends. But I'm going to tell you something. It's real instructive. We cannot live the blessed life if we're hanging with unchristian sinners, unbelievers. Listen to what Paul said. He said, "Be not ye unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" I'm not promoting another version. I just like the way another version put that last part. He says, don't link up with those who will pollute you. Isn't that powerful? Don't link up with those who will pollute you. You cannot live a blessed life if you're hanging with the sinners. You see, if you stand with the sinners, pretty soon you will stand for what they stand for and not stand against what they don't stand against. Your opinions, your ideas, your positions on things, you'll be making the same stand as they. That it just happens. So see the progression. You hear the counsel. Then you begin to hang out with the sinner. Here's the third thing. You cannot be blessed if you have become one of them. Sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Let me explain this real quickly. Back then, the elders that gave counsel, they sat. You can read this in the Bible. They sat in the gates of the city. So if you wanted counsel, you'd go and the elders would be sitting there to give counsel. Also, you can notice as you read through the gospel, when people wanted to say something to a crowd, they didn't stand up like we do today. It was the opposite. How many remembers all the times when Jesus got ready to teach? What did he do? He sat down. So why would you be sitting in the seat of the scornful? Well, remember, you started by hearing the counsel of the ungodly. If they were giving counsel, this is Bible time, Bible picture. If they were giving counsel, they were seated, right? Because that's what you did when you gave counsel. You sat down. Guess what? You heard their counsel. You hanged out with them. And now you are sitting in a seat. What does that mean? It means now you are giving the same counsel you one time heard. You are one of those that's giving bad advice now. You're one of those that's given unspiritual advice now. You can't be blessed if you follow this progression. Hear the counsel of the ungodly. hang out with the sinners. And now you have become one of them. You're sitting in the seat saying those things to other people. I've seen this in so many cases. You know, I've seen this on social media. At first, some people, good Christians, will just read those things that are being posted. And then later they'll make comments. You know, they kind of hang out and they'll kind of back and forth with other people making comments. But before long, they will begin making the post or the blog that was the unrighteous thing that at first they'd started just to read. We could take in so many illustrations how this progression's happened. You begin to watch and listen to ungodly stuff, whether it's movies or music, and pretty soon you begin to want friends and hang out with friends like what you see that's portrayed on the movies, and before long you're doing this stuff and telling other people that it's okay. I've seen this progression over and over. That is not a blessed life. Forget the individual. Have you noticed how quickly this has happened? I shared briefly with the board last night. It's just been a few weeks since the Supreme Court decision that legalized same-sex marriage. Do you realize how many churches have got on board with that? Even some churches that were previously fundamental, they are now saying, well, we support that. We've got them on our staff. How did that happen? If you listen to the council, if you give it credence and listen to it, pretty soon you'll begin to hang out with them, and pretty soon you'll be saying the same things they are and trying to get others to go along with it. The Bible said you can never be blessed. Let me give you a final illustration. If you don't think this is true, I want you to look at the epitome. Let's just take America. What would be viewed as the epitome of having everything, whether it's physical looks, whether it's money, whether it's cars, whether it's houses, the good life, the happy life, living it up. Take the epitome of it, Hollywood. Let me ask you one question, just make it real simple. Knowing what you know about Hollywood stars, let me ask you, are they living the blessed life or are they living the messed up life? Isn't it evident? Why? Because they went this route. They hear the counsel. They hang out. And then they become one of them. You can't be blessed and do that. Now, I wish we had time to turn the corner to the positive, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. We don't have that time. But I just wanted to begin with this prologue, as the psalmist did. We can never, as believers, we want to be blessed. We don't want to be miserable. We don't want to live the messed up life of the world. We can only be blessed if we make it purpose in our heart. We will not hear the counsel of the ungodly. It'll take your blessing every time. Number two, we will not hang out with those who are not doing right. Again, we're friendly, we're cordial, we're nice people, we're polite. But you can't have this communion. You can't do it and be blessed. And thirdly, we got to watch, because I keep saying progression. How many caught that? I meant to say digression. It is not a progression. It's a progression the wrong way, but it's a digression. Because if you start that digression, you will end up sitting in their seats, one of them, giving out the same unhealthy advice. I'm not trying to call anybody to mind, but I have seen that happen so many times in the life of the church. And just because it's Wednesday night, I can think of young people. You know, I've seen them at youth camp. They're on fire for God. I've seen them weeping and crying in the altars, wanting to sit up close and get in the service. And somebody with a corrupt heart begins talking to them. And at first they just listen. They'll still sit up front. They'll still come pray. They'll still worship and cry. But you see that they're starting to listen to this one individual whose heart's not right with God. You know what the next thing you see? No longer are they sitting with those trying to get in. They've meandered back, and now they're sitting with them, or they're hanging with them on the parking lot, or they're hanging with them. So they begin to hear the counsel of the ungodly. Then they're standing away and say, and you know what? Before long, if you listen to them, out of their mouth comes those same things that the other person used to corrupt their relationship with God. How many? We're not trying to bring anybody to mind, but how many knows exactly what I'm talking about? You've seen that happen, this digression. That's not the blessed life. Amen. Oh, I hate to end on a note like this. I won't go forward, but I wish I could. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. You don't have to listen to the counsel of the ungodly. The blessed life is to take God's counsel, God's advice. How many really believes if we'll follow this, we will have the blessed life? Amen. God bless you. Could you stand? Go ahead, music, come if you wish. Now, we're going to talk about a lot more things in this series. We're going to get into the Beatitudes. We're going to talk about blessed are they that mourn, and blessed are the peacemakers, and blessed are the pure in heart. But the blessed life begins by just severing the relationship of that which would pollute our minds and pollute our hearts and pollute our lives from the richness that God brings. Blessed life comes from here. So let me end with this question. Before every person, every soul, there is a decision. Will I live the blessed life or will I live the messed up life? How many chooses? How many opts for the blessed life? How many knows where it comes from? Amen. Would you come? Let's find a place to pray and let God's word settle into our hearts. Could we do that? Take a moment to let God's word settle in your heart.